This podcast is proud to be a part of the Blueberry Network. Find freshly picked podcasts just for you at blueberry.com. That's blueberry, no ease, .com.
Whoa.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hey there, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We have a special guest with us today, Mr. Keith Tomasek, who will be calling in just one moment. But we have kind of a little announcement to make before we get started, and that is that we were recently, recognized as one of the top 20 podcasts on theater in the country. That's right. And this was by Broadway World at broadwayworld.com. So it was kind of a cool thing. And we had, we didn't even realize it. One of our friends, Susan South, told us about it or announced it online. And then we got all excited. It was exciting.
Well, and if you go to our website, there's a link there, because if you're dumb like me about that, you can't remember links. You have to have just something that you go and push the arrow and you're there.
That's right.
And you can do that. It's really kind of neat.
Yeah, it is. And we were listed, we're kind of in a category with educational and informational podcasts on theater. And so,
We just meet every other week and do podcasts.
That's right. That's true.
For you guys.
Well, I was really impressed with us when I saw some of the other podcasts that were listed there.
That's right. That's right.
This is pretty good.
And there aren't a ton of theater podcasts, but just by the way, we are, I think, the only podcast that's talking about community theater.
Right.
And so for all your community theater news and views, you should always go to Theater Geeks, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. There you go.
Absolutely.
And what is our website? It's theatergeeks.
Theatergeeks.com. Yeah. That's right. And we could talk about the store and all that other stuff, too, but probably wouldn't be necessary. We always do that at the end
of the
show.
We'll talk about the store at the end.
If you haven't heard it by now,
Does everybody have their underwear on?
Everybody has their underwear. I've got mine.
Sorry.
I've got mine.
I know.
I've got mine.
I'm not talking.
All right. It is, time to go to our guest. We're joined now by Keith Tomasek, who is the owner and operator of a website in Canada related to the Stratford Festival. It's called the Stratford Festival Reviews. Welcome to Theater Geeks, Keith.
Hey, thanks for inviting me, Dave. I can't tell you, I'm really excited to be here. I've been a fan and a listener for over a year, and congrats on the big heads up you got in Broadway World just a little while ago. That was huge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks.
Yeah,
one of the top theater podcasts. Way to go!
That's great. Yeah, and you are you the top website related to Stratford? Or I noticed you actually have another one for the Shaw Festival, a similar kind of website as well. But tell us a little bit about how the Stratford Festival Reviews website actually works.
Sure. What it is, I kind of call it the Rotten Tomatoes of the Stratford Festival. So you get it? I aggregate all the reviews from different sources like the Chicago Tribune or the New York Times, the Globe and Mail. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking of going to see a show at Stratford, or you just want to read some really good critical writing about theater, which I think is just as important as theater itself,
right?
Then you just go to Stratford Festival Reviews, and they're listed by shows. So you just pick a show, and then you can see all the reviews. Now, there's no reviews up yet, so the site's kind of quiet now. But once the festival begins the last week of May, there'll be anytime a review gets put up, I publish it on my site.
Okay, now do all the major newspapers review Stratford?
Yeah, they do. All the major Canadian nationals do.
The New York Times and the Chicago Trib.
Chris Jones usually comes down mid-season. And the New York Times, last year they weren't here, but they were here the year before. Charles Isherwood usually comes up.
Right.
So we get people from Bloomberg, the Washington Post in the past has showed up. I mean, the Stratford Festival is the largest classical repertory theater
amazing.
In North America.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think we've all been there at least once.
I started going as a junior in high school. I absolutely adore it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great event. So do you find that So you're basically a resource for people that want to go to Stratford, and probably what by like the is the festival started yet? No, not
yet. Said it starts the end of May.
Yeah, end of May. So, but
the official opening is the end of May, but there's actually previews right now, so people are talking about it on Twitter and Facebook a little bit. But the openings are May 26th.
So, but like what about a month in? You've got a pretty good stockpile of reviews at that point, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And I tell you the truth, during the festival season, I get about, well, last year it was about 1500 to 1800 page views per day.
Mm-hmm.
People, whoa. And they stay on for a long time because the reviews are actually, if you're a theater fan, they're really interesting, you know, right. Different approaches to different pieces of theater.
Well, now do you, and you aggregate these just by, you follow all these, all the different
that's
newspapers.
That's right. Yeah. So, I kind of dug a hole that I can't get out of now.
I was going to say, wow.
Yeah. And you, go ahead.
I was reading those reviews anyway, because I'm interested in theater. So it all started a few years ago. I saw a show at Stratford that got a 5-star review in one newspaper.
Right.
And I saw the show, and you know, it's not cheap, and we have to get a babysitter and drive. And at the end of the night, we were like, it wasn't really a 5-star show.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
So I read all the other reviews and I realized, oh, now I understand. So I started publishing them and just casually, and I just started getting lots of traffic, so I haven't been able to stop really. And it's been so fun this year. As you said, I've launched a similar site for the Shaw Festival, which is in Niagara-on-the-Lake, just on the other side of Buffalo around there.
Right. Do you do you also get reviews from, you know, average users, theater goers? Do you do that kind of consumer oriented reviewing?
There's two sort of ways the regular guy can get on the site. If you have a blog, there's quite a few bloggers that have been reviewing regularly, and I'll mm-hmm. put up there a link to their blog. And also at the end of every review I have, every show, there's a Facebook area where you can comment, and people do leave their own comments. Sometimes they comment about the reviewers if they don't agree with
right,
the
sure. Yeah. Well,
that's good.
Yeah, it's really fun. It or they leave their own review.
Yeah.
So Keith, you obviously have a love of theater. Does it stem from community theater? Because Canada has a huge history of community theater, just like we do here in the States.
For sure, yeah. When I was young, I grew up in Montreal, and my mother sort of got me into community theater. There's a piece on my blog. It's called A Theater Mom Changed My Life, or How a Theater Mom Changed My Life. And she introduced me to a community theater when I was in grade 11. So I was involved in a couple of different shows, and we did a cabaret, and it just sort of grew from there, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I studied theater at John Abbott College in Montreal, and did a little bit as a professional, as an actor, but I'm more of a character guy, and mm-hmm. I had done a bit of comedy, so it was hard for me to I'm just not a great actor at the end of the day.
Well, then we should have a review site.
There we go.
Is anything on video that you've done?
We'll start a review site. What are the hazards? What are the hazards of putting a site like this together? Do you get bounce back from some reviewers, or do you get or from some of the media?
You know what? The media love it, because what I do is I actually drive a lot of traffic to their
sites.
That's
what I kind of figured, okay. But I didn't know if there was some downsides to it.
Do you have to get permission from the big newspapers to reuse stuff that's basically theirs?
You're absolutely right. Technically speaking, it's their intellectual property. So what I do is I'll just take maybe the first two sentences and write my own sentence above that, and then link to them. Okay. So I give you a feel. You get a sense of what the review is, right. And then you can go to their site to read the whole review.
This is what we call meta content, correct?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that's a new word for me. What's
me
that?
Me too.
That means content about other people's
off.
Content.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of what we do in some respects.
Do we?
Yeah, not exactly.
Don't.
No, we don't.
Now, initially, I talk about a downside. Initially, I was kind of nervous to talk to the festival because I put all the reviews up, good and bad.
Uh-huh.
Right. Right?
So it took me about two years to get up the courage to actually talk to folks at the festival. And then
wow.
And when I finally did, the artistic director, Antonio, said, you know what? We understand you don't write the reviews. You're just making it accessible to the folks. So they don't hold anything against me, and I'm sort of welcome there, you know?
I have to believe that, first of all, I mean, Stratford in general, the quality is very good. So that's not probably a big fear for them. But the thing that occurs to me is that anything that drives people to read about the festival on a consistent basis mm-hmm. is going to be good for them, don't you think?
See, I agree 100%. In the age of social media, you can't hide a bad review. You know, in the old days, you could put up, even if you had one good review and five bad ones, you could just put up the good review.
Right.
Now, you can't hide a bad review. And everyone is a reviewer as well these days.
Okay, and do you think that's a good thing? I have to ask. You think that just Joe Bloke off the street who doesn't know anything about theater, is his review worth printing?
Well, Marcia, that's a big question. And part of my academic research as I'm studying that what's happening in terms of arts journalism now is we're seeing a lot of organizations cut their arts journalism funding. And at the same time, as you point out, bloggers can, Joe Blow can say anything with no sort of background or understanding of theater. So,
which is not very fair.
No, it's not. It's not great. So we're at a time in terms of arts reporting where we have to sort of figure out what's the future going to look like. But right now, the truth is, arts journalists are being let go. So we have to find a way to make if what we're left with is bloggers and Joe Blow people, we have to find a way to work with that. I mean, some theater companies have already been using just regular Joe Blow Twitter reviews up on their and their ads and that sort of thing.
Oh, isn't it true that you can always find one good line, even in a really horrible review?
Well, we've even
you can find one good line that that sounds like maybe they really liked it, you know?
Well, even then, you know, we've encouraged people to tweet at intermission, you know, if they've enjoyed the show. We encourage that.
That's right.
I can't stress the value of Twitter for something that's if it's a premiere or an opening night, something that's timely. Twitter is such a great tool to help get the word out. But going back to your question, though, a couple of years ago, Macbeth, they produced Macbeth, and it didn't get great.
I saw it.
Did you?
Oh yes. Yeah, I also saw an Othello up there that I went afterwards. We went to there's a little pub where everybody goes after shows and stuff. And the gentleman who played Iago was sitting there having a beer or 10, whatever. Yeah. And I just had to go up and say to him, sir, this is the first time I have seen this where I really wanted Iago to win.
Oh, that's great. Graham Abbott.
But he was so bad. This guy that played Othello. He was terrible.
But going back to the Macbeth got really negative reviews. It wasn't a favorite by any means, but there was one reviewer, I forget his name, in the American Conservative, and his review was all about the choices the director had made, and it really made me want to go see the play, even though the other reviewers had basically said it wasn't great. And I went to see the play just to try and make sense of the play, the director's choices, and this reviewer's perception of the play.
And what did you think?
I mean, it wasn't definitely my favorite Macbeth, but it made it much more accessible.
Well, I was going to ask if you felt that way. Like sometimes a negative review actually drives people to see a show.
Yeah, but you know, as you said before, it's getting more and more expensive.
That's
and
right,
I think that's why reviews, even by the average person, are given a lot of credence is because if you have to look for a place to put your entertainment dollar, you want to make pretty sure that it's kind of a positive thing, you know?
For sure. And if a friend of yours on Facebook says, hey, I really like this show.
Right.
That you're going to feel comfortable and you trust that person. You might even trust that person more than the TV arts reporter or the person in the newspaper.
Sure.
Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely. I don't think it's fair that well-known critics can kill a production if they don't like it. But it goes back to the same thing. It's money. And especially if you're in professional theater and they're paying $160 a ticket, you want to make sure your money's going where you're going to get your money's worth.
Yeah. Absolutely. But to go back to the other point, eventually, I believe with the rise of social media, the professional critic, people will take that and go, okay, the professional critic said this, but my friend on Facebook said that, or someone that I really like on Twitter said this. So maybe I'll go see it. You know what I mean? People will have more voices to listen to.
You also are a college professor at where are you? Where do you teach?
I'm in London, Ontario. It used to be called the University of Western Ontario, and they just spent a lot of money. And now it's called Western University Canada.
Okay. But you teach some coursework in social media.
Yeah. I teach an undergrad class in social media, and I teach the graduate class journalism, radio journalism.
Cool. Now, one of the things we've been trying to do here at our own home theater is to do more with the social media, and use it more effectively for promoting of our shows. You have any good tips for us?
Yeah.
The biggest tip that I would say is to remember that is just to be social on social media. So social media is not like a billboard where you can put up a poster and say, hey, come see this, or put up a poster and say, discount on tickets. Or it really is a social way to interact just in a new place. So, you know, if one of your actors shows up late, put that on social media. If one of your actors needs a bit, Chris Abraham, who directed Marcia, the version of Othello you saw, he's amazing on social media. I interviewed him on my podcast just because of his use of social media. So he'll put, I'm doing a show in Montreal in 2 weeks. I need a babysitter. And he'll put that up on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
He'll also, you know, he won this award. He won the top arts award in Canada, $100,000, the Siminovich Prize.
Wow.
And about a week later, he goes, wouldn't you know it, the week after winning the prize, my furnace goes, there goes half my
oh my goodness. Yeah,
so he's just being a social human person. And then maybe 20% of the activity on social media is directly related to putting bums in seats.
Right. Yeah, we found that too. It's you're trying to gather the audience with it, right? more than and gather involvement more of than course. You're trying to get tickets sold, you know, overtly, let's put it that way.
That's right. Get them. I'll tell you, I the folks at the Stratford Festival, they've come and spoken to my social media class, and they have tons of evidence to suggest that engagement, in other words, engaging your online audience, is a better way to sell tickets than promotions and discounts at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So if you get them engaged in an idea, like, you know, say you're doing a show of Valentine's Day, you could ask people about, you know, how did you meet your husband, or what's the best gift you ever got your wife? Or I tweeted once, I'm getting my wife a dozen roses for $25 at the grocery store. Does that make me cheap, you know, as opposed to getting right. fancy?
You know a good place to shop.
Yeah. All that sort of stuff we go through on a daily basis. And then every now and then say, oh, by the way, opening night's tomorrow. There's still, you know, 20% of tickets left, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're probably guilty of maybe pushing too hard on the promotional side sometimes in the social media rather than the engagement side. We are using Instagram a fair bit.
Instagram's huge for sure.
Yeah. And just trying to encourage other people to tag things and then in certain ways that we can pick up and then transfer over to other media like Facebook and things like that. Is that more effective or less effective than just straight old Twitter text?
Oh, no, tagging and using the different mediums together at the same time is definitely a way to go. But the platform, I think the sort of the pillar of any sort of social media engagement process for the community theater would be Facebook, Twitter, and then MailChimp. People underestimate the value of a good email list. So
right.
as much as you can, collect people's email addresses and be very respectful of them and only send them something every now
exactly.
and then.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you try not to overload them. It becomes the same problem with paper junk mail.
Yeah,
and the other thing – Dave, you mentioned you know, trying to get people onto Instagram. You have to be an evangelist for the medium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, oh, and my mom's 86 now, and when I lived in the Middle East, I got her on Skype all the time. Like, we can teach people how to do stuff. The Stratford right. Festival's right. audience, the audience of the Stratford Festival is 55 and over, and they have, last time I looked, over 50,000 people on Facebook. And that's Whoa. Because they spend a lot of time training the audience to get onto Facebook. And then once they were on Facebook, to do regular things. So if you can do a regular, they do a flashback Friday. There's lots of little things you can come up with yourself to try and make your audience go, oh yeah, it's Friday. Usually that theater company does this. I want to check it out. Something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't underestimate the value of regular posting. Even if it's just one thing once a week, make it the same rough time that day, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah. That's the time of day is kind of a critical thing too, yeah.
Yeah, and there's tools, I don't know if you, there's tools, I use a tool called Twiriod. That's Tweriod. If you have a Twitter following, mm-hmm. you can plug your Twitter name into Twiriod, and it'll tell you when your followers are most likely to see your messages. It's a great tool.
Wow. I've not heard of that one. Now we use Hootsuite to try to schedule some tweets, and well, I think that's the main one that I've
sure.
been using here. But that's you know, there are a couple of those. Buffer app is another one yeah. that you can use to time things out. But I think sometimes with Twitter, if you start scheduling tweets through a day, you sometimes end up looking a little bit like that's what you're doing. You know what I mean? You got to be careful that you're actually doing things that are engaging people and not just scheduling, you know, something that isn't necessarily timely content. Am I?
You're absolutely right. Yeah. You don't want to seem like a robot for sure.
Right. Yeah. That's the good word for it. Sounding like a robot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the evidence shows that the tweeting are on a regular basis outweighs the benefit of tweeting randomly and being live. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's interesting.
Yeah. So if you use Twiriad, I think it's, you have to pay $5 or something for an analysis, but it's, for me, it's worth it. So if you get the Twiriad check, it'll actually integrate with Buffer automatically and then schedule your tweets. So it's a little bit easier than Hootsuite. I use both Hootsuite and I use Buffer.
Okay. Yeah. Buffer is kind of an interesting one too. Yeah. I mean, they both sort of do the same thing, although I don't know, which do you prefer?
I use them both. I'll look at a theater's schedule 2 months in advance, and I'll take an opening night. Okay, opening night there, opening night there, opening night there. I'll tweet, you know, break a leg for those way like 6 weeks in advance if I, you know, because who has time, right? So if I find myself with a lot of time, I'll go way forward on Hootsuite, and then Buffer is more for the next 2 days. What am I doing in the next 2 days?
Oh, okay, got it. All right. Yeah, that's cool. That's neat. What about Google Plus?
Yeah, it's so funny. I just got on Google Plus. Everyone's on Google Plus because we all feel we have to be, but we're not really sure why, right?
You know, I'm going to show my age because I'm still struggling to learn how to use Twitter.
Well, Google Plus is sort of like it. Well, it's similar to Facebook in some respects, but it's a little different approach to the content, I think. And I think you'll, I mean, if you've just gotten onto it, Keith, I think you'll see it's a different attitude, sort of, if you want to say it that way. And it's probably a little different. It seems to be a little more professionally oriented in some ways, but not so much, not like LinkedIn is, you know, but just, which is all business.
Totally
business.
Professional. Yeah. So, Marcia, if you're just getting into Twitter, have you discovered hashtags yet?
Yes. I'm just confused. When do you use the at symbol? When do you use hashtags coming or going? Or I don't know. You know. Well, and I have to. Oh, well, never mind.
Go ahead.
I have two. My daughter set it up. I have two Twitter accounts. One is for me being nice, and one is for me saying what I really think.
Uh-oh.
Now, who gave you that advice?
My daughter. My daughter's an actress, and she said, write what you really think on this one, and I'm not telling anybody what it is, so, you know, I have to have some outlet for things that I think are really awful.
Yeah, Marcia's so shy about saying what she thinks. That's the whole point here.
David.
It just becomes a lot of work if you've got two twins. No wonder it's not the most fun. You know, maybe I would maybe temper your daughter's advice and suggest maybe having one, but you try to think, okay, I'll be nice 80% of the time.
No, but see, right. But if I did that, then everyone would know who's being nasty 20% of the time, and that's not worth it.
Well, that's what makes us human, though, right? Everyone has nasty moments.
Okay.
The object is to be human on social media. So here, I'll just give you a tip. A hashtag is used to search something. So, for instance, the Stratford Festival has a hashtag for every single show they produce. So you can look up hashtag. I'm not sure what it is for Crazy for You. And if you want to see how that show's doing, you just check the hashtag. And anyone could just make up a hashtag. You guys can make up a hashtag for Theater Geeks. And then anytime I'm on Twitter and I want to see what people are saying about that, I just click on the hashtag and it automatically shows me all the tweets for that subject.
Okay.
It's a really cool way to research stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Good.
It is.
You've been very helpful. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And I use hashtags to sort of break into the Stratford conversation. So I'll use Hootsuite to say at 11 o'clock at night when a show is just let out, I'll tweet a tweet with a hashtag saying something like, oh, if you love the show, check out what the reviewers say. And I'll set that up automatically on Hootsuite so it goes out. Because young people, as soon as something's over, they want to know what people are saying about it. Mm-hmm. So after a rock concert, after a movie, they leave the theater, they leave the show, and they check the hashtag for that particular event because they want to hear what people are talking about.
Right.
So social media gives you a chance to get into that conversation.
Okay. Is that because anymore they can't make a move without knowing that everybody likes it or everybody doesn't like it? They can't think on their own?
Well, it's not that they can't think on their own. It's that there are more communal. They say that generation is just more communal. One way we talk about it in to employers is in the old days, a guy would come into your office and say, you know, I'm not really happy with how much money I'm making because you were all sort of on your own. These days, you get two people coming into the office and saying, how come she's doing the same work as me and she's making 20% more? Because people in that generation are more likely to share information. There's less a concern about privacy and walls. They'll share information that we would never think of sharing.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
And yet we're all wound up about the government spying on us when we're putting our whole lives on Facebook.
So we just give it away.
We're giving it away. What's the where's the disconnect here? It's like, I'm telling everybody all about myself, but I don't want you to look. You know, it's kind of weird. Yeah.
Oh, well,
it's funny. So what does your life get busier here as soon as these shows start to open? Then I assume so.
It is pretty crazy. I'm lucky because my semester is finished right now. I'll be teaching summer in mid-June. I start teaching the radio rotation of our master's in journalism class. So yeah, the timing is great for the festival. So the opening week is May 26th. I'll be online every day. And I'm really proud of the fact that I get the reviews up really, really quickly. It's really fast. And I go see the shows. I see as many of the shows as I can.
Do you also go to the Shaw Festival?
I do. Well, that's a bit far for me to drive. So
I've always wanted to go there. I've been to Stratford. I've never been to the Shaw Festival, but they do some really neat things.
They do some really good, lots of Shaw. And this year they're doing a cabaret, which is and some of the actors you see at the Stratford Festival go over to Shaw. But Shaw is really nice if you like wine. Because it's
The New York and the wine from around the Great Lakes there. Yeah.
There's some of the best Chardonnay grapes and Pinot Noir grapes grow in that region around the Shaw Festival.
I got stopped one time for speeding because I was looking for a winery on the Canadian side of the border there.
There you go.
So yeah,
literally, they're world class wines out there.
Yeah, that's true. Very much. So and are you worried about the amount of time that it's going to take to do the Shaw Festival now too with your website?
Oh man, yeah.
I was just
time for an assistant.
How many children do you have?
We just have just one. It's just my wife and I and one. So
okay.
I'm at the point now, this is kind of I'm going to see, and I don't make any money off. I do sell ads on Shaw Festival and Stratford Festival reviews. I've got maybe five or six advertisers, local businesses who are kind of ahead of the curve in terms of marketing, and they recognize, hey, there's a space here we should get into. So I'm not making any money off it. I do it because I love it. And I actually do it to learn about social media. I find as a professor, by practicing, I can learn.
Oh, so. Sure. That's good idea.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why I launched a podcast. I've got a podcast called The Inadequate Life.
What is it again?
It's called The Inadequate Life, which is a line from Brecht.
But it's about being an artist, right?
Yeah, it's sort of about the intersection of being an artist, someone who makes a living off their art, and having a regular life. So I try to interview people my age who have, you know, made choices in their lives that means, you know, they might not get a pension plan. They wait for the phone for their next job. But at the same time, they're creative and they're inspired. They get to express themselves every night on stage or on the page.
That's right. Now that podcast is, I did listen to one of those episodes. What's the URL for that podcast?
It's called theinadequatelife.com. Okay. And it's also linked to Stratford Festival reviews. You can find it there.
That's how I found it. Yeah. And it's also, it's on iTunes and all that.
Inadequate Life. Yeah. And I interviewed Chris Abraham, the director who won the $100,000 Seminovich Prize. And he talks a lot about what inspires him as a director, how he works with his family, because he's got two kids. And as a director, you're away from home a lot, or as an actor, you're away from home a lot. It's tough. You know, we had there was a woman in Toronto, Melanie Doan. She was in War Horse when it came to.
I loved War Horse.
She's playing the violin and she's got a family as well. So she said she'd come home at 11 o'clock, get to bed at 1, get up at 7 to take her kids to school. And she teaches violin in the school. Like she said it was crazy and hell, but like us, she loves theater and she just did it. She made it work, you know?
That's great. So it's Stratford Festival reviews.com, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Not a CA. We sometimes with the Canadian websites, we forget that there's another part of the world that has different suffixes on their websites, but .com and also theinadequatelife.com. And besides that, you're teaching full time, right?
Yeah, I'll be teaching again in June and seeing shows, getting out and seeing as much theater as I possibly can.
That's great. All right.
Everybody should.
Yes. Yeah. That's what's important.
By the way, we've been talking to Keith Tomasek, who is the creator and maintainer and writer for StratfordReviews.com, a kind of Rotten Tomatoes for the for Canada's world famous Stratford Festival, which everybody should go to at least once in your life and probably several times.
And, you know, if you're like me, you're a teacher, there's all kinds of programs in terms of educating college. They actually teach teachers how to teach Shakespeare. Shakespeare. So they've got so many wonderful resources there at Stratford Festival.
That's great. Yeah. Well, thank you for being with us. And
thank you for doing a great podcast. You've inspired me and some folks that I know around the community here. So I'm grateful. I know how much work it is, and congrats for three of you to be doing this.
If we all get to Stratford, we'll give you a call.
That's right.
Sure.
We should do that. Yeah.
Yes.
We keep saying that we need to organize a bus trip from out of here to go up at some point. That would be fun to do. Anyway, well, take care, and I'm sure that we will be looking forward to maybe having you back again sometime on Theater Geeks. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. See you later. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Well, that pretty much wraps up this episode of Theater Geeks. Remember to stop by our online store where you can buy hats, cups, mugs, underwear, all the kind of stuff like that. And it's Marcia's favorite, and I'll say it for her. It's the coffee mug, right?
The coffee mugs and the teddy bears.
All right. Have you ordered your clock yet?
No, I have to get that thing from you. I will order my clock.
The secret handshake password. There we go. She needs to get that. And John, of course, I'm not even going to ask John.
I haven't bought those yet either.
No, so. I haven't bought mine either.
Someday I'm going to wear them in, though.
There is some great stuff on there, and I'm drinking right now out of my Theater Geeks coffee mug because
we all forgot ours.
It's the best. And so that's it. And you can get us on iTunes. You can find us on the Blueberry Network. That's BLUBRRY, Blueberry with no E's.com.
You guys not know
you
how to spell that
yet? You can also get us the iTunes. TuneIn Radio. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, On Demand Radio. Apple. If you can look it on the Apple TV where you can watch the logo and listen to us. But
you sound really good in stereophonic sound.
Right. It sounds. Oh, we do. We do. We really do.
Surround sound.
And or surround sound. You feel like you're surrounded when you're listening to it?
Okay.
There we go. All right. That's it from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shelp.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.